recording from inside E3, right on the show floor in Los Angeles. This is PC Gamer Podcast number 276. I'm Evan Lotti, and I've got nerd goosebumps just thinking about all the good things we got to talk about today, guys. We're gathered here right on the show floor, as I said. We got Josh Augustine, associate editor.
Ahoy!
Logan Decker, editor-in-chief.
I got your bumps right here.
Whoa.
We got Tyler Wilde, second appearance on the PC Gamer Podcast, also associate editor.
Also plenty of bumps.
Absolutely. And Chris Comiskey.
No bumps, but I'm excited.
Terrific.
I'll give you one of my bumps.
No. So guys, this is a thrill. Just to give you a sense of what we're looking at, we're overlooking the show floor in the, is it the South Hall?
It is the South Hall.
The South Hall of
yes,
E3.
Indeed.
There are tons of people here. I mean, more than
yes.
I've ever seen, honestly, maybe since like 2006 or something.
It's really big.
It's very populated. So let's get right down to it. We've already had our initial appointments. This is our first day on the show floor. It opened up at noon today.
Indeed.
And we've already seen one of the biggest games. Tyler and Chris, you guys went to see Bethesda, and you saw Skyrim. Saw completely new footage.
Yep.
Hands-off demo. I'd love to hear you say what you feel about it.
Yeah, so I want to say, some of it was footage I've already seen. Basically, when I went down to look at it in Utah, but a lot of it was new stuff. They had something that was called, what was it, a word stone? No, I believe it was a skill stone.
Skill stone.
Yeah, standing stone. And basically, you can find them in the world, and you have a choice, and you can, if you unlock one of them, you can only have one active at a time, and it basically will enhance whatever skills you're leveling up at that point. It sort of acts like a buff those experience points.
They've really integrated all of the RPG sort of stat mechanics into the world, and with awesome menus. Like, the menus, just to check your points, you look up at the stars and the constellations, and everything's really smooth and cool. I like that they've made it less about spreadsheets, and that's not my favorite part of RPGs personally.
Yeah.
I know some people love that, but I like it when I use a weapon, as you do in Skyrim, and you get better at it. You know, I prefer that kind
of
mechanic.
Sure.
And just to point out here, this is Tyler's first time seeing Skyrim.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So this is a brand new impression for a guy like me who is notably biased. You know, it's probably the worst game ever, and if it's an Elder Scrolls game, I'm going to love it. So it is reassuring to hear, like, from a guy like Tyler who has absolutely, you know, very little experience
with
this game.
Not a big Elder Scrolls fan, period. So,
sure.
So I wanted to jump in. Like, the dragons, everything was...
Yeah, we actually...
Dragons.
Yeah, and we actually saw dual dragons. Apparently, before I thought it was only one dragon that could attack you. Now you can actually get hit by, like, multiple dragons, so...
It's not scripted. They'll roam around the world and show up.
So are these full-size dragons, or are
yes.
they
okay.
smaller ones?
So, I mean, I also want to point out, I know this is a demo, it's early on, but they had, like, 7.1, like, awesome surround sound, and it was positional. So I'm hoping that will carry over into the actual PC game, because
nice.
It was amazing sound.
When the dragons hit the ground, it's...
Yeah, it literally feels like a skyscraper collapses when the dragon hits the ground in front of you.
I envision a lot of YouTube videos of let the dragons hit the floor. with that song.
You know, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, have you considered upgrading your audio lately? Because it makes a difference.
Yeah. It really does.
Absolutely.
Speakers are not that expensive. A good sound card, it's peanuts, and you will have the bumps we have right now.
Yeah, and I actually have to say, the sound when we initially saw it was okay. It was just your basic 2.1 surround. It was good, but this time it was flooring. And like Tyler said, when the dragons hit the ground, you know, it's like an earthquake. And there was a point, basically, Todd was saying that even he doesn't know what these dragons are going to do because they're scripted so well, or not scripted, rather. And so basically, it was just flying around forever, and he was like, where is it? And it just landed, like, right in front of him. It's like, whoa! It's just so, I mean, it's just looking better.
He actually had a hard time killing it for the purposes of the demo. He had to get rid of a couple, but it was, you know, it was messing with him a bit and flying around.
Yeah, it was really
back.
Cool to see that emergent sort of behavior. We did see a whole brand new area that I've seen in concept sketches, but not in the game. It's basically this frozen tundra. If you're familiar with The Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, do you remember Aderos? It's that one little encampment that's on top of a hill. What? Josh shaking his head. You played Lotro.
Yeah, but, like, not the whole thing.
Anyway, so...
That's right, the menu screen.
Aderos is basically the castle in Rohan. The Horse Lords? No, I'm not bringing it back.
Yeah, come on, Lord of the Rings, they're barely getting to Isengard.
So basically, this is a direct ripoff in the best ways possible of Aderos, which is, like, you know, this hill that comes up on the tundra. And so that's kind of where we got to see, like, the two dragons that were battling him. It was, and so they showed some new spells. I mean, it was, man, I'm telling you.
So all I've really heard is about battling dragons. Are you battling other things besides dragons as well?
Giants were there being battled.
Yep, go ahead.
Well, they were big, and there was... I don't know what those were with them. They were woolly mammoth type creatures.
Giant. Yeah, I saw the mastodon things get a little irritated.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they were
But they were irritated because he threw like a flame spell at them.
Yeah, well, he walks up and says, like, it was not all enemies in Skyrim will attack you. And he just walks up to these totally peaceful giants and just starts like burning them for no reason.
And understandably, they got pissed, and they started fighting him around. But then, in the middle of the fight, it was really cool because the dragon came down and just took out some of the enemies. Because they don't care. They'll kill anything.
He's fighting a giant. A dragon swoops down, picks up the giant, and just throws it, like, 100 feet.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Wow. So I know there's also a lot of emphasis on verticality. I mean, you're in a very cold environment. There's a lot of mountains. Yeah. I didn't like climbing hills in Oblivion. Does that seem like it's something that's going to be equally kind of frustrating?
Well, if you don't like climbing hills, I don't know if there's... I mean, because in this, it is very much a steep hike with lots of rocks, lots of falls.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I've seen so far, maybe what Tyler's seen, I mean, it's interesting, again, because the weather changes, right? And so you could be a totally calm day in the bottom. If you start walking up into the clouds, you're going to get hit with a blizzard. And you can even actually... There's a storm... It's a dragon shout that you can call down. It actually will start the whole entire map into this torrential downpour with lightning that will just hit random enemies. Like, it will literally change into, like, this huge, awesome thunderstorm. And you can activate it, and then after you activate it, you can go to a different spell and start using different things.
He started throwing chain lightning around in combination with his storm's lightning, which was also cool.
Yeah. So it's reassuring to see, like, it's not just, like you said, like, there are certain areas, like the tundra was sort of flat. I mean, it's still nestled in between mountains. So if you don't like climbing mountains, I don't know how well you're
going to do. Definitely pointed to a lot of really big-looking mountains in the distance and said, you can go up those. So if you don't like going up those, then sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe stick with armor.
I have to train my athletic skill by jumping everywhere.
That's
I go.
Gone.
That's gone.
That's no longer in there.
Okay, good.
That was not something we saw, but that's something I saw in my previous.
Sure.
Yeah, and I actually asked them that directly.
Good to know. So are there any like big unanswered questions for Skyrim for you guys, or anything you're skeptical about at this point?
They have not mentioned the guild systems. I mean, he mentioned they're there.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they work. They're being very close-mouthed about that.
You think that the same sort of guilds, assassins?
Right, assassins, thieves guild.
Can I just point out that we have a little dance party going on over here with these young women?
They don't know how you're dancing
at all. They just settled down, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. I just wanted to point
out. Can all the listeners hear the dance?
Probably.
It's definitely Britney Spears. Only worse. I have no idea who that is. So yeah, I mean, there are a lot of questions I have. I mean, for example, they really haven't mentioned anything about what the plot is besides you're a dragonborn, kill dragons.
Yeah.
So we don't know anything about what's actually going on.
You're special because you can do the dragon. What are they called?
Dragon shouts.
The shouts, and that's what makes you a hero because only the gray dudes up in the can do that.
So, I mean, there's a lot that's still up in the air.
That's good. More reasons for us to cover it.
Yeah.
That's good news.
I mean, have they talked much about the central story? That's the big thing up in the air for me. Like, this all sounds cool, but if I have to wander around the world aimlessly and find it, I'm going to get bored. Like, I wish that I wouldn't, but I will. Like,
just that there weren't dragons, now there are, and you have these crazy powers. So.
Yeah. Okay.
He mentioned quests in passing, like you can go train with a certain clan on top of it, but no, they have been very close-lipped about exactly what the plot details are.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
No problem.
So from here, I want to kick it on to Logan. We've seen a lot of stuff today. We're just going to kind of do as much as we can here. We're going to be podcasting daily, of course. You'll hear this one today.
Every day.
On Tuesday, but there will be one on Wednesday and on Thursday.
Yes, indeed.
To pick up everything else we're seeing here at E3. So, Logan, you had a chance to see Serious Sam.
Yeah.
From Crow Team, guys all the way in Croatia.
Yeah, I've seen lots of demos since I got here, but the thing is just... Okay, so, Modern Warfare 3 is just like, boom, cutscene, okay, run down the corridor, boom, surface, and okay, here you get to do a little bit of this. And everything's so serious. Battlefield 3 looks absolutely spectacular, but everything is so heavy, so produced, and I just craved something like Serious Sam 3, and I got it today in the face. It was just fantastic. The premise is that it's a prequel to the original game, and so you're in future Egypt, and you have to make your way back into the past so you can start the first game. And just from the very beginning, it's like Serious Sam is not so serious, although he is serious, But they understand the melee attack, right? Because this thing comes at you, and you grab it by the face, and you tear its eye out.
Nice.
That's a proper melee attack.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in the trailer. It's kind of like a... It looked almost like Duke Nukem.
Absolutely. And then, you get your one-liner, and you toss the eye back at it. You know?
Yeah.
That's a proper melee attack. None of this punchy stuff, you know? That's the way it's done. The next thing you know, he's picking up Sledgehammer. The Sledgehammer just doesn't, like, bop him on the head.
No.
You get to carve a channel right down the cranium. You know what I mean? That is responsive violence. And I love it.
Is it all melee? I mean, is there shooting?
Oh, no. Okay. We picked up a gun mighty fast. In fact, you know, it's serious Sam. I picked up a chain gun in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And just started cutting through.
So is this classic Serious Sam where it's just like an ocean of enemies coming
towards you? This is absolutely classic Serious Sam. It looks way, way, way better.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, they pushed the envelope and they're doing it again today. But it's just shooting fun. And there's just, you know, I'm shooting at this, one of the kamikaze bombers, you know, and I get two of them close enough to a column. Blam! They blow each other up and bring the column down. You know, on other guys.
Yeah, so there's more physics, for example.
Okay, so it's a destructible environment?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
And it's just satisfying, you know? They're all coming at you. They're making a beeline. There's no cover. Cover's for... I'm not going to use that word. But, you know, it's just, you know, you got to shoot your way out. You got to pound your way out. You got to sledgehammer your way out. I picked up a lovely double-barreled shotgun and took down a few NARS. It was just fun.
So are the weapons your standard basic shooter weapons, or do they have some unique spin? Like, I remember the cannonball gun in the original Serious Sam.
Well, in the hands-on I had today, we had the shotgun, double-barreled shotgun, a couple pistols, sledgehammer, and then those fists. Those fists of fury, right? But you know what's interesting is that Crow Team picked up three indie developers, and they said, while we're developing Serious Sam, we want you to make three indie games to kind of warm people up. They're like appetizers, right? And I got to see one of them, and they're doing something called weapon stacking, where you know how, like, you find a great weapon, like a triple barrel shotgun.
Okay.
And then you stumble upon it again later in the game. You're like, oh, I already got that.
Totally, yeah.
Well, that's okay in this one because you can stack them. You can stack up to six guns, and they'll all fire at the same time.
Wait, what? So you're talking about, like, literally stacking them on top of one another?
Yes, on top of another, and they all fire at the same time.
So when I was a little kid, maybe even so much as being 14, I used to, like, have G.I. Joe guns, and what I would do is I would rubber band the G.I. Joe guns, like, and pretend like you'd have, like, this giant all-purpose, you know, gun.
Absolutely.
So is that essentially, so it's like a revolver by a shotgun on top of a machine gun on
and
top of a grenade launcher.
And you said six times?
Oh, yeah, up to
so
six times.
So if you got a triple-barreled shotgun... Six times.
Yeah,
18-barrel shotgun.
And you can keep stacking them. You can configure them and reconfigure them. And, you know, so if you find another rocket launcher, hey, stack it.
That's
there
really
you go.
Damn cool.
It's being developed by a developer called Mommy's Best Games, and they're doing a bang-up job, I can tell you that much.
Wow.
Finally, I get to be a man made of guns.
Yeah, yeah, literally. So, like, what has Crow Team done anything in between this and the other Serious Sam?
What have they been up to lately?
Like, they've been so off the radar. It sounds like this just kind of came out of nowhere.
No,
I mean, they did Serious Sam HD, right? Which is just an upgraded version.
Just the remake,
Yeah, although that did introduce 16-player co-op.
Which is pretty rad.
And, and of course, this will have it as well. And we are very much looking forward to that.
Terrific. All right, so I want to pass it on to Josh finally.
Yay!
And Josh, you've already seen, like, several MMOs.
I have.
Three.
Exactly.
MMO demo, MMO demo appointments have got to be some of the most taxing.
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about, so much to see, so many questions that you have. But you mentioned one named Defiance that you want to talk about, and take it away.
Yeah, this was just announced, the title, yesterday. It's the MMO that Tryon Worlds, which made Rift and is making End of Nations, is making in collaboration with the Sci-Fi Channel. So it's going to be linked in with I assume the TV show is going to be called Defiance as well. It hasn't been announced yet. It's a sci-fi shooter. It's cross-platform with Xbox and PS3. All playing on the same servers together.
What? Oh, whoa, wait. Like PS3, Xbox, and PC?
Yep, all playing on the same server. In their demo,
They had one person on each, all playing together doing quests. And they had the Xbox and the PS3 in the room, and there was like six guys on PC playing with them back at their studio.
Yeah.
The gear style was interesting. It's kind of like Halo meets Crysis with a bit of Dead Space in there. Like, it was kind of gritty, but it was more like, I don't know how to describe it, but more chunky than Crysis is, I guess, where Crysis is the solid suit, but had more of the Halo kind of chunky look to the different elements.
Is it first person or third person?
It's third person, okay. Over the shoulder. You have different abilities that actually sound exactly like Crysis 2 suit abilities.
Okay.
There was overdrive, more damage and armor, stealth, you could create decoys, you could also teleport small distances. So you level up, it is an MMO, and you can increase your abilities over time, and you also get new gear that's stronger over time.
Yes.
Dynamic events in the world, it seems kind of like, it felt like Borderlands, where it's kind of this open world that you're running with together, but they're going to have thousands of people on these servers. It's an entirely open world, just like a RPG MMO. And so, like, yeah, the dynamic events were really cool. You run to a tar pit. It's called a tar pit. It's basically crazed miners. You shoot them out. After you finish it, it uses the phasing technology like World of Warcraft. So for you, that mining camp has been saved. There's new quest givers. Everything's changed. But the next person that comes, you know, it's crazed, and they have to save it.
Sure.
The one thing that was interesting, there didn't seem to be any headshots. The guy was shooting the guy in the head, like, probably 12 times before he died. So there's no real collision. It'll be interesting to see how much auto aim they have to give Xbox and PS3 owners to compete.
Yeah.
So it's going to be no contest.
I'm really curious about, so there's some kind of cross promotion or cross like storytelling between the TV show?
Yeah, there is. They downplayed that a lot, which I was actually really glad, because that would be so easy to be a gimmick, like a movie tie-in essentially.
Yeah.
But basically, it's kind of like how Clone Wars Adventures works. When an episode hits TV, you can go to the game, and whatever happened in that episode, like, would have happened in the game that day in this update. And so if a character, you know, shows up, or if in the TV show they conquer this town, when you log into the game that night, that town will be conquered, and you can play through it. They said there might be some going the other way, like a few influential characters may get mentioned in the dialogue or something like that. I wouldn't expect there to be much going back.
That's reassuring. I wouldn't want a TV company to have, like, creative control.
Right.
Yeah,
that'd be...
That'd be weird. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so they're doing a specific PC or PC UI, and they're also doing updated textures for that, for sure. But there are no jetpacks.
Do we know when it's coming out or when the beta is?
No, they aren't saying anything. It is just announced. They said it's very, very early. I wouldn't expect to see this before 2013.
Oh, really?
Probably. Oh, dang.
Yeah, it's just announced.
Okay.
Maybe 2012, mid to late, but yeah, it's definitely not coming this year.
Okay. Worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
Great, so what else do you want to tell us about, Josh?
I want to tell you about lots of things.
Something more familiar, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of. I'll go along the same line. So I was talking with the Eve guys as well.
Yep.
They announced more details on Dust 514, which is the console tie-in to Eve Online.
Oh, right.
Which is the shooter. So I was talking with them basically how it's going to change for PC players, how it changes on that end. This is fantastic. I am so excited about this. I was kind of. I was holding off because it is a console game. But it changes so much for the PC users, and the PC users have so much control
over the console.
Over the console, people.
They become our slaves.
Yes. And so there's full chat, voice chat, and everything going through both sides. Essentially, how it's set up is console people will form like mercenary groups. They can be a part of the same corporations. It's separate characters, but you will be part of the same corporations. So you can enlist these mercenary groups, and you tell them to assault this planet for your corporation. And during the battle, the Eve players can be in orbit launching down, like, strikes, shooting them. And the people on the ground could be shooting back at the ships in space to take them out. So it's just a whole new level of interaction in Eve Online, which is what the game's best at. Just letting people interact with each other in
completely absurd and ridiculous ways.
How is everyone else like around you? Like, were a lot of people seeing this game besides yourself, or was this a one-on-one between you?
I was doing a one-on-one with them today.
I'm just curious to see like how console players are going to react to this. Like, is EVE Online pretty well known in the console community? I mean, is this going to have...
It's fairly well known in the gaming community just from those occasional stories.
Right. I honestly don't know. Yeah. You know, so I'm asking, like, I seriously, it's like, that's great.
People probably aren't very familiar with how the game works, but they know there's something about corporations and people backstabbing
each
other.
Just the nature of it is so alien to the console experience.
People know there's a lot of words on the screen.
Just probably goes in one ear and out the other.
Menus.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks really cool. I think initially it'll be EVE people buying PS3 or buying whatever.
Yeah, just to play the
game. But it looks like a genuinely fun shooter on that end. I'm not really worried about that because that's not what I'm going to be playing.
Right.
But yeah, you know, it's just that interaction is something the console users don't have. They don't have that persistent universe where they can join a corporation, build up their notoriety, you know, become the mercenary faction that everybody wants and sell yourself for hire out there.
We should, you know, do you play EVE Online? Or are you pretty much kind of keeping
it? Yeah, I play a bit. I'm not...
So I actually have a PS3 for some reason. Great Blu-ray player. Dude, we should actually, like, try it out and see. Because I'd totally play the PlayStation 1 and just, like, see how it... Like, I'm down, man.
I'll be your commanding officer. I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
So I'm really curious if you have a sense of, like, what the relationship between the PC player and the shooter player on PS3 is going to be like. I mean, this sounds weird, but what rights do the console players have? I mean, can they make certain demands? Like, are they always taking orders? They can choose who they're working for.
Yeah, they're never taking direct orders. Like, the PC players aren't saying, you know, capture this objective. Like, basically, PC players can, like, declare war on this map and then recruit people to fight. And so the console players will basically be able to look at wars and say, like, all right, well, I'll fight this war if you give me 8,000. Or maybe that's his corp. He's invested in that corporation, so he wants to fight for them all the time.
Okay, so it's not necessarily, like, immediate, like, second-to-second orders being issued.
No,
it's
no, like, not at all.
Except for with the exception of battles.
Yeah.
Where you can call in support, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess most times, like, corporations will have two parts. They'll have the space group, they'll have the ground troop, and there'll be like a ground commanding officer that'll be on the console version giving controls. They'll have voice chat with both sides simultaneously so they can coordinate, hey, you know, call down an airstrike, push this position, but it's not like you're giving orders and they have to follow or anything.
If that works out at launch, that's such a technical achievement. I don't even want to imagine what the net code looks like.
Yeah.
Synchronizing MMO combat with shooter combat.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they were already saying the chat is fully integrated. That's good to go. Voice chat, he said, had a couple issues, but he was flying in space and saw, like, explosions on a planet. So he kind of zoomed in, he paused, he flew a little closer, and then all of a sudden he got a message from the guy on the planet saying, hi, and, like, wave. So they could see each other, even though they were just, like, flying by, and he could see the actual combat happening down on the planet.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, oh my god.
Yeah, okay, well.
Nice. So, like, I can imagine just being like, I wouldn't even fight necessarily. I'd be like a combat tourist. hang out in my, like, defense only shield bubble ship.
Yeah.
And just, like, put my binoculars on.
Watch the world burn. At one point I asked him, you know, okay, in a perfect world, 6 months from now, what do you want to see, like, happening? And Torfi, I think he's their. I don't even want to guess on the title. He's one of the high game directors. He said, I want to see scorched earth. I want to see people killing each other.
Sounds like EVE Online.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and the other thing I saw I want to talk about real fast, Lord of the Rings Online, their upcoming expansion about going to Isengard. About all that. Isengard itself, it's, I guess, the Fort of Isen.
It is.
I haven't read the book, shamefully.
Oh!
I tried. I read The Hobbit. August. Does that count?
That counts.
Okay,
awesome. You're part of the way there. Yeah.
So that looks fantastic. Just all the stuff that they have in there. It's like 400 quests coming.
400?
The one thing I want to call out, because it did just go on pre-order today. A lot of people are wondering, like, because right now it's only cash. Why can't I buy it with turbine points in the cash shop? All that sort of stuff. You will be able to, but obviously they aren't selling it in the cash shop until it's in the game. So you can't pre-order it in the cash shop. But yeah, if you want to spend your in-game currency and all that sort of stuff, you know, just hold off till it releases.
Okay.
Very encouraging. I mean, even if we don't get to play Dust, back to EVE real quick, it's so exciting that we still get to be at the bleeding edge of what's happening in gaming.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Even if we're not playing that shooter itself, we get to be participating in that. So that kind of innovative cross-platform play, I really reserve that word innovative for these kind of situations. Yeah. Amazing.
Has there been a game besides Shadowrun that's done that? That's actually integrated console and PC Shadowrun players at the same time?
I really can't think of one.
No, I want to see more of that a lot, because I think console and PC gamers have more common ground than they think. Just they're going to experience things in a much different way, and I think, you know, this is the perfect way to do it. Give them the shooter, give, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I'd be interested in playing both, and I have tried playing Eve, but I got confused and scared and ran away.
Understandably so.
It was interesting to listen to them talk about how they viewed the audiences differently, Eve Online. How they called, like, the dust, you know, that's the army, and it's Chris will love this. Eve Online is the Air Force.
Yes.
You know, like, there are a lot more people in the army, but, you know, they're the grunts. They do, you know, the kind of simpler tasks, whereas the Eve Online people are going to be the much more complicated, sophisticated, kind of out there.
Sure. They're the ones going to stay those in the 5-star hotels.
Yeah, those are my words. Guys. I don't want to say that they're calling them dumb, but
of course. All right. Very, very exciting, Josh. Thanks for the monologue there. As for myself, I got to play Dead Island. Went up to the Deep Silver booth in a top secret meeting room. They got it's all island themed, but got hands on with 4-player co-op. And the thing I was most impressed by, to be very specific, you can throw weapons. I actually didn't know about that. So in your inventory, I mean, you're basically carrying around Dead Island. If you're not familiar with it, is a cooperative, sort of, you know, Left 4 Dead, roughly style, open world shooter. I guess it's a shooter. It emphasizes more melee combat with weapons degrading and things like that. But just the ability to throw any little knife I pick up or any random baseball bat at a zombie was fantastic, and having it stick in a specific part of their body.
Ooh.
And then being able to walk up to them while they're still fighting me. Pull it out of them, throw them at them again.
That's what I would do in real life,
yeah.
So that's cool.
It's, I love the way it's distinct from other zombie games right now in that it's a little slower. Melee combat, of course, you know, much more, you know, less finesse, more like defending yourself and more physical, more momentum-based. So you have abilities like, you know, if a zombie's charging at you, sometimes he'll sort of shamble, sometimes he'll sprint. You can reverse it very quickly just by hitting them. Or you can do a jump kick, or you can just push them away with a simple kick. Throwing is just fantastic. I upgraded one of my bats. There's a Dead Rising-style workbench. It's basically identical. You just combine certain items to make, like, a wrench with an electric shock attached to it, or putting spikes in your baseball bat, or things like that, or
okay.
A buzzsaw, like a full buzzsaw blade in your baseball bat. Pretty cool.
Dead Rising.
Yeah.
But it is first person, right?
It is first
person.
What
does a first person jump kick look like? Is it disorienting?
It looks kind of like Fear, honestly. You see your leg. It's a little disorienting, but it was useful. But I love, for example, that our focus on this quest was basically a delivery quest. We were finding this, we were in our hub with all these characters that wanted us to help them out, and we had to deliver a postcard to somebody. So we wandered over, we're going through the town, it's very, very open, it's huge, I mean, it's you know, lots of intersections and city streets, and you can go wherever you want. But just the way it's distinct from Left 4 Dead for me is, you're not killing every single zombie you meet. Sometimes you're simply just dispatching them, you're knocking them down, and they're going to get up after 5 or 10 seconds. Like, you're just going to keep on moving, you don't have to worry about that guy. Because they're relatively slow in general, you can kind of ignore them, knock them down. You can, for example, walk up to them, individually chop off their arms, their legs, whatever, do some more torso damage, or go for the head. But I just really enjoy the fact that it wasn't the same, like, sprinting from point A to point B as Left 4 Dead. We were sort of wandering around, getting our sense of direction, getting lost at some points. And the special infected, quote-unquote, whatever you want to call them, sort of the boss zombies, they were... on paper, very similar. There was sort of one that exploded if you meleeed him and would do a lot of damage, knock you down. There was a tank character that you had to hit in the back. He was wearing this giant street jacket. But they were less frequent than Left 4 Dead's, and also you could sort of ignore them. Some of them were slower. It wasn't in the same sense of Left 4 Dead where you see a hunter, you immediately call out to your entire team that this is a threat that needs to be dealt with. In that way, there's a different pace, it's more open, there's more wandering, more actual exploration. You can, for example, just go into the game and grind and get items, like, for making more equipment and for selling and things like that. You don't have to play a specific part of the campaign, you just kind of grind and kill zombies.
Now, the question I have, I love the melee combat, but a lot of times in zombie games, like, it doesn't really matter what weapon you have, it feels the same. Like, how do they make all the weapons feel different? Like, if I'm having a baseball bat or a baseball bat with an axe, does that really matter?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see a full selection of them, unfortunately, so I don't have a full sense of what they're at right now. In general, we were just kind of bludgeoning enemies until they went down. But I would say that one of the attachments, you basically attach this, like, battery and some wires to a wrench or another item, something metallic. You can only upgrade certain items in certain ways. Some of them, you can't upgrade a wooden baseball bat, obviously, with this power. So you hit an enemy with it, and they'd be shocked for a second. So that's kind of a stun ability right there. Okay. I'm not sure about anything else other than damage. I'd like to think that some items are maybe better at destroying the head or something like that, but I'm not sure.
So is it like open world in a sense, like Oblivion's like an open world? I mean, is it sort of scripted like in a linear fashion, but you can kind of wander off here and there?
It's basically it's segmented open world. So you're going to have a hub in each section.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a lifeguard station. Maybe it's a police station. And within that hub, you have like a certain number of quests that you can complete. Okay. You can't explore the whole world, and so you complete that section, you move on. So
when I saw it just visually, it reminded me kind of a Far Cry.
Yeah, Far Cry and Resident Evil 5, yeah. Kind of like the lighting.
How did you find the difficulty? I've heard it's tough. Did you die a lot? Or
I never died. Of course not. We had one of the developers walking us through it, but I did get knocked down a couple times, mostly from learning the sort of special zombies, what their abilities were, what they couldn't do, but you get surprised. I mean, it's there are certainly less zombies in general from Left 4 Dead, but they're a lot more threatening. You have to do multiple attacks. You have to aim for certain body parts, or you have to flee. You have to think on your feet more so than just holding down mouse one and waiting until your clip empties.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So cool. Best thing I've seen so far. From there, I want to transition into asking you guys what you're looking forward to in the next day. Let's see. No, 2 days. Two and a half days.
Yeah, so 2 days left. Yes, sir. Two and a half.
Outstanding. So,
by far, BioShock Infinite.
BioShock Infinite, yeah.
It's dazzling. I mean, I'm totally sold on it. It's such... It feels like that same sort of rich atmosphere of BioShock, but in the opposite way. It's the careening down those sky rail tracks... shooting people while you're dangling from a single hand, it's just unbelievable. The appearance of the songbird with the flashing eye, and you can hear all its gears working as it stares you down and tries to claw your chest open. I mean, that's a good time.
It's funny, Chuck Jordan, one of the writers from Telltale, we had on a couple weeks ago on the podcast, had a tweet, was something like, oh, it's so cute of Irrational to make a trailer for BioShock, thinking they need to do that to get me interested. It's so true. I mean,
it's a nice gesture.
I've heard nothing but positive impressions.
Right, and I just feel like they, as impressive as the teaser demos were, they barely even showed what's going on under the hood there. So I cannot wait to really get in there and mess around.
Outstanding. Tyler, what about yourself?
Well, based on what Logan's told me about Infinite, I'm definitely looking forward. I hope I get to see something. I don't know if I will, but I'm also looking forward to Deus Ex. And I also saw, when we were at Bethesda, I saw Prey 2 for my first time seeing that as well. And, I'm not completely sold yet, but I'm interested. Definitely. And the, its new engine looks fantastic.
Seems like a lot of changes.
It is not at all related. Yeah. I mean, they kind of made up this, like, so you remember in Prey when you saw an airplane? This guy's on that plane when that happened. And then...
Wow, very tenuous connection.
Yeah, and then, like, he kind of is like, the plane crashed and what's going on? And then aliens beat him up and he's unconscious and he wakes up. And when he wakes up, it's been like 5 years and he's a bounty hunter, but he has no memory of any of this. So now you're a bounty hunter on this alien world, which I'm like, okay, I know you wanted to get there as fast as possible. That works, I guess. But then the actual bounty hunting... Definitely, it's sort of like Brinkish free running with, I don't know, it looks beautiful, of course, and
so in Prey
2, about it.
In the demo I saw, which was not hands-on, it was a play demo by the developers, they definitely showed, like, they really wanted to encourage, like, aggressive cover-based combat, which is to say they wanted to encourage people not just stay behind cover, but to move from cover to cover.
Some of that stuff looked like it might not always work, like... you might end up, like, sliding out into the middle of an open space around it and be like, that didn't look cool. at all, and now I'm dead. But the guy playing it was obviously very good at it, and watching him just like bust out, jumping over things, sliding and shooting like two guys, well, mid slide with a slight time slowdown to help him out. I'm not sure. But watching him do the awesome like high speed cover stuff was I wanted to play.
That's pretty thrilling.
But they wouldn't let me play him, so.
As for myself, XCOM, I can't wait to see. I want to know what they did with it. I'm dying to know what they did with it.
Well, did you see the trailer?
No, I have not seen the trailer yet.
I wish I could go back to before I saw that trailer.
I know that I've kind of been avoiding it, to be honest with you. I really want to just see it and take it all in at once. I don't want to have it spoiled.
Yeah. And then what you want to do is you have somebody punch you in the face really hard in the event that you lose your memory.
Don't spoil it.
And then you can watch it again.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to that. This is going to sound kind of like a bum answer, but I'm looking forward to a game that I wasn't expecting. I'm looking forward to seeing something that I had no idea existed. You know, maybe an indie game, maybe just something that was like, I didn't think it'd be good. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most, I think. Being surprised.
A cop-out answer.
Maybe a little. But I want to see something that says, hey, you know, you didn't know about this, it exists, it's awesome.
Yeah, me too.
For what it's worth.
Okay.
Yeah. Go look at Bastion.
That's why we're here.
Bastion. Yeah. Bastion.
Yes. Must see.
Totally. As for myself, Josh, I'm going to hit you. Don't worry. I'm not going to end myself.
Just making sure.
No, he's literally going to hit you, in the face.
You're going to have the best answer. That's why I'm saving you for last.
All right.
Arma 3, my contact at Bohemia Interactive over in the Czech Republic has pinky promised me I'm going to be the only guy that gets to play Arma 3 at E3.
Oh,
dun, dun, dun.
It's not even being shown. Like, you know, every developer, you know, almost every developer here has a booth. They're not even showing it like externally on the show floor. It's behind closed doors. They did release a bunch of new screenshots today. Very exciting, of course. If you received our most recent issue with Duke Nukem on the cover, you've already seen them. But I mean, I'm just so thrilled to see diving, for example, built into this game. I mean, such an interesting thing for them to broach for Arma 3, like in a sandbox military hyper-realistic shooter. Just the notion, and I'm just so thrilled about this, of getting in voice chat with some guys, putting on your scuba gear, getting inside a miniature submarine, an SDV. It's a swimmer delivery vehicle, I think.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
And infiltrating behind enemy lines, you know, detaching, swimming underwater, still being connected in voice chat as this is going on, you know, jumping out, infiltrating a facility, planting a bomb or something, sneaking away, blowing it, and, you know, escaping into the water. It just opens up an entirely new tactical avenue. I mean, just to give you guys such an example of why this is a big deal in Arma. In Arma 2, if you go into the water for about 20 seconds, you lose all your equipment.
What?
Like, there's no incentive to swim. It's basically lava. Lava, so... that's an amazing change, and most of all, of course, I'm going to be really grilling them about, is this engine going to be optimized? I mean, it's one of the first games that we've seen that they're already saying, you know, a year before release, it's going to require, not recommend, require an i5 processor to run. So, you know, on one hand, you know, Bohemia is known for not really creating the most optimized game in the world, but we could be seeing, you know, one of the most demanding hardcore PC games and upholding that reputation.
It's excellent.
Yeah, very exciting. So I'll be seeing them tomorrow and hopefully filling you guys in on the podcast tomorrow.
Sweet.
Josh Augustine, yes.
Yeah, I am really excited. Right after this, actually, I'm going to go talk with Chris Taylor about Age of Empires Online, which me and Dan and my buddy Greg have
You guys have loved that. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have really been into it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how good this game is. It's just, I loved Age of Empires 2. Age of Empires 2 is the basis for Age of Empires Online. They're trying to replicate that gameplay as closely as possible. I'm really excited to talk with him. Dan and I actually played a game with him last week.
Yeah.
And I can't spoil the ending, but I'm looking forward to continuing the trash talk in person
this day. That's great. We've kind of had a long history of playing games with Chris. I think he played Demigod with us.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're 1-1.
Yeah. And then I'm also very excited about Neverwinter. The Cryptic is making it. It's the first time they're going to be showing it. I'm really excited about that. I love the Neverwinter Nights series. I'm really interested to see kind of
where it's going to land between online RPG and MMO, because they've been very cryptic about it.
I get it.
Very good.
Right.
So yeah, really excited to finally see that tomorrow.
All right, tons of stuff to look forward to. We got another, several hours of appointments ahead of us here today. So,
absolutely.
Unless you guys have any closing comments,
I can't wait to be back here again.
Absolutely, yeah. So,
go team PCG.
Yeah, tune into the same same bat time, same stat bat station tomorrow. I'm not sure when Andy Bauman, our podcast producer, is going to be able to post this today, but
if we whip him hard enough soon.
I'm sorry?
If we whip him hard enough soon.
Oh, absolutely. That's how it happens. All right,
thanks, y'all. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again for joining us, guys, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.